Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.
The world's appetite for lithium continues to skyrocket, and it's a much bigger story than just Tesla. We've got Kanish Chugh, Head of Distribution and ETF Securities, back on the podcast to take us through why we're seeing a boom in demand for lithium and how investors can tap into the value chain using ETFs. So Kanish, first it was gold fever. Are we now seeing lithium fever?
Yeah, it's been interesting, hasn't it? I think there's been a lot of media attention around lithium, especially, I guess, from an Australian perspective. There are a few sort of lithium miners that are definitely gaining popularity, and you've seen their sort of price moves considerably sort of grow in the past sort of 18 months. I think that the whole lithium play, the battery technology play, I think a lot of that has come over the past 2-3 years, you know, from when we first heard about battery technology or, you know, electric vehicle cars, which is the first Tesla, I think, was in the late 90s, early 2000s. Not many people, even in the early 10, 15 years ago, you wouldn't have bought one. You wouldn't have considered one. It was too expensive. Reliability issues, you know, where would you charge it? How would you charge it? I think now I think that whole angle has definitely picked up, and, you know, it's potentially the way forward as well.
Is the lithium ion battery the whole show? Is that purely what's driving demand, or are there other applications too that are driving the lithium price?
So that is probably the main driver of the lithium price, in particular, I guess, if you think about the battery technology play. So when you break it down in terms of battery technology, lithium is the main form of battery technology. It's the one that has gained widest use, and reasons being is it's lightweight, but it also packs a punch. So if you consider the, you know, bring it to a reference on the Tesla, the ludicrous mode, the ability for a car to go from 0 to 100 in under 3 seconds, that is because of the use of the lithium battery. Now, as technology improves, they're able to get more out of that battery. They're able to make it more lightweight. And so you're able to have longer ranges. Now, battery technology is not only from a lithium perspective, but lithium is where majority of use in terms of that battery tech play is. And it's purely because of the work that's been done on it so far, the lightweight sort of capability of it, and sort of the power that it can provide.
So obviously it's not just a demand story, it's also a supply story. When you're talking about the lithium price, how's supply holding up to the demand?
So there was some drawbacks in supply because of COVID-19. So let's break it down in terms of where is most lithium held in terms of resources. So they say that I don't know if you've heard of this idea of the lithium triangle. So that's where about 75% of the world's lithium resources are held, and that's between Bolivia, Argentina, and Chile. That, you know, lithium can be extracted in a number of different ways. So depending upon the type of deposit, so either it's going to be via what they call solar evaporation of the large brine pools, or from hard rock extraction. Now, essentially within that lithium, you know, resource space, you have that triangle. Majority of the lithium that features in that South American triangle is going to be of the lithium that is extracted by that solar evaporation of large brine pools. Now, it's interesting from an Australian perspective, because from where we sit at the moment, you know, we are actually one of the leaders in lithium producers. Now, that's been interesting because we don't rank in those top three countries that I mentioned before. So we're not in that lithium triangle. But what Australia has obviously done is we've got, you know, a great history of mining and sort of how we're able to sort of mine the resources that our country has. And Australia's aggressively developed its lithium reserves, and the production, you know, nearly jumped nearly 170% in 2018. So in 2019, Australia ranked as one of the largest lithium producers by about 53%. Coming in second was Chile at 21.5%. So he puts it in perspective in terms of whilst we are sitting on maybe a smaller scale of lithium, in terms of we're sitting in around, I think it's about 20% of the world's total lithium Australia has, but we are definitely punching above our weight in terms of the, I guess you could call the mining of it. Now, that has meant that, you know, when you talk to a lot of, from a battery technology perspective, they rely very much on Australian lithium for that. But the key point is also is the type of lithium that gets produced. And, you know, from an ETF security standpoint, we have the ETF ACDC. It looks at battery technology. It looks at lithium. But we only look at battery-grade lithium miners. So there's a specific type of lithium that is suitable for battery technology in its final form. And there are specific miners that are able to produce that battery grade lithium. And they're the ones that we're looking at.
Can you get that quality of lithium from both the brine and the hard rock? Or is it to favor one or the other?
I believe you can get it from both, but I believe from the brine, and look, I'm not a lithium mineral expert, but from my understanding, I believe it is a bit of a longer process. So it potentially can take a little bit longer. I think that the lithium that Australia currently produces is for the most part, some of the, you know, the battery grade lithium miners here in Australia have an ability to produce an easier sourced, a source of lithium for those battery technology companies.
So walk us through the production cycle, the supply chain. Most of it, I read, ends up in China, the vast majority of lithium, of commercial grade lithium. Is that right?
Look, I think from a production side, it really ranges. So if you think about it, you're going from the mining of the raw materials to then the manufacturing of that. The manufacturing of those battery lithium batteries, it definitely, you know, is centered in and around a number of Asian companies. You know, Samsung SDI features high up there. So Korea, Japan, China is making a bigger play into the lithium space. They're very much focused, I guess, on, you know, bringing down emissions within their country. So they've got this big drive for electric vehicles. So there's a big push within China. I don't know if that's the case that lithium, you know, is just simply going towards from a Chinese perspective, but I do know that there's a number of sort of companies from Asia, Korea, Japan, China, obviously is now coming up as well, that feature heavily in that manufacturing of the, from the lithium into the battery technology, so the batteries itself.
So when you talk about lithium, it's very easy for people, I think, to think immediately of Tesla and the lithium batteries that Tesla uses. But of course it's an entire supply chain story. What parts of the supply chain do you see the greatest growth potential looking forward?
Yeah, so I think the greatest growth potential is you've got, I think there's two parts. So, or well, you could call it three parts. So you've got the manufacturing element, So you've got the lithium miners. We need that to really produce the raw material. So you've got the mining, the resource element. You've got the manufacturing side. So that's companies like Samsung SDI or LG Chem. Now, some of these companies actually have contracts with car manufacturers to produce the battery packs that they require. So if we talk about the electric vehicle boom and what could drive much of lithium use over the next sort of 10, 20 years. Well, it's those companies that are manufacturing the battery technology and the battery packs that these car manufacturers are using. And then you go down the path in terms of, well, what about the application side? So on the application side, well, then yes, it's companies like Tesla, but it's not only Tesla. So it's companies like BYD, for example, or companies like, Renault. It is a great example, or Volkswagen. I think it was the Renault vehicle. There's a particular electric vehicle they had. It was the best-selling electric vehicle in Europe for 2020. So you've got other car manufacturers. We all just assume it's Tesla, but majority of the car manufacturers at the moment, global car manufacturers that have, you know, factories, their efficient processes, you know, they're already set up from that perspective. They're looking to phase out of petrol and diesel vehicles into electric vehicles. And so that's going to be a big part as well. And then finally, I think that the last one in terms of the battery technology is going to be sort of what you could call the enablers. So these are people that are producing things like the recycling aspect of it, which not a lot of people talk about, but there needs to be a focus on it in the long term, especially when you're thinking about battery technology is a clean technology. The whole idea is that we're wanting to produce some form of energy resource that helps us become more greener. Now, what about the recycling of lithium batteries? Now, that needs to be considered, and there are companies that are focusing on that. But then you also think about the charging infrastructure or grid edge or inverters. So in charging infrastructure, there's a US company called SolarEdge. SolarEdge is a US company. Their main current source of revenue is the retail solar panel market in the US. But what they're converting a lot of their sort of focus into is they're focusing now on the charging infrastructure for electric vehicles. And they've already got that solar panel market and that solar technology. So they're able to now maybe lay out that charging infrastructure, utilizing the power of the sun to power those chargers. So again, you now have an ability of a company that's really looking beyond just, say, the electric vehicle or a Tesla, for example. And with Joe Biden coming out recently, I think it was earlier this year, with his sort of infrastructure package for the US, the electrification of the US is what he's calling it. You know, he wants there to be all government vehicles to be electric. He wants there to be a charging infrastructure sort of roadmap throughout the whole country. And it's going to be companies like SolarEdge that benefit from that. But the last thing I just want to add is, so there's sort of the four elements of that supply chain. And we talk about lithium a lot, but there's more to battery technology than just lithium. It's things like flow-based batteries. Now, flow-based batteries are essentially what you could consider very heavy grade, you know, high storage technology. So they would be considered more from an industrial use. They're going to have a longer life cycle. They're going to have lower degradation under high cycling. There's sort of a lower marginal cost of energy capacity. So
is that what you... Kanish, is that what the South Australian Tesla battery is? Is it that?
No, so the South Australian Tesla, so all of Tesla's batteries are lithium. So flow batteries aren't yet, you know, mainstream. The technology is still being developed. There's a, you know, companies like Lockheed Martin, for example, are actually companies that are looking into this space. They're looking at it within Australia in particular. But that's sort of where you think about it. So we all focus on lithium as the battery technology, and I'm not going to shy away from the fact that lithium is the main battery technology that will be used in the near term and medium term, but there's more to it than that. And as we develop more technology, it's things like zinc-based batteries or flow, that's where you may see other developments.
Can you put a time horizon to that development?
It's really hard. I think the hardest part there is technology is advancing so quickly. So, you know, I could put a time horizon and I probably will get it wrong. I can say that those, like on the flow-based battery technology, I do know have read up on the fact that that is currently being developed. So you're not going to be far off. But again, it may not be suitable for mainstream use. So you may still find that lithium-based technology from a battery perspective is what is used more widely because of its lightweight nature. So things like flow-based, as I said, may have greater industrial use than, say, lithium.
You mentioned before the recycling of lithium being a major part of the industry and an important part, given that lithium batteries are a supposed green technology. What does that recycling look like? I was under the impression, as you've mentioned, that lithium batteries degrade. So what kind of applications is that lithium repurposed for?
Yeah, I'm going to be completely honest. On the recycling aspect, I'm not too far across that on that side from a battery technology perspective. Again, it's probably an area that we'll see more development in. As we've seen greater use of lithium batteries, that's probably the sort of the last area within that sort of, you know, value chain is where you'll probably see greater development and sort of research being done.
And what about institutional interests? Obviously, you know, there's a general pattern in the investment world that retail money chases institutional money. How much institutional interest is there in lithium?
I think you probably, from an ETF perspective of what we've seen with our ETF and ACDC, we probably haven't seen as much institutional interest. We've seen interest definitely from the retail market. We've seen interest from sort of the investment professional market in terms of financial planners and stockbrokers are now looking to adopt this thematic within their portfolios as an allocation, as a long-term allocation. I think that's and that's important in itself. They're now viewing it as this is a mega trend. It's got a long-term view on it. It's not a short-term. It's not a fad. It's not just this transient investment that I'm going to make that may, you know, benefit from Joe Biden coming into power. I think that's what we probably, a lot of people thought, you know, Biden's coming into power. You're going to see now the US come back onto that sort of green train. They're going to now look to the companies underlying that theme will benefit. What you will definitely see, you know, what we've seen is we've seen probably interest and investment into this space because there's greater focus and attention on it, even though this ETF, for example, has been around for 3 years. But now we're actually seeing allocations to it with a long-term view. From an institutional standpoint, I'm sure there are institutional investors that are playing this space via the mining companies themselves directly and potentially looking at it from other avenues. They haven't looked at it from an ETF standpoint, I can tell you that. There are conversations with a lot of the private wealth institutions and private banks. So at that level, it is starting to get this. This could be an example of, you know, where you find a bit of a reverse engineer. I think sometimes on that institutional market, they maybe they pick out the themes themselves in terms of utilizing an ETF standpoint. I think you may find that it'll be driven first and foremost by that intermediary market, that retail market, and it's now sort of moving up.
Would you say ETF investment is past? I mean, when you're talking about just hoovering up, you know, the ETF market using something like your ETF, would you say it's past the speculative phase?
So I think when you talk about thematic investing, you know, you talk about that the S curve. So you have sort of the early innovators, you have that real strong growth period as you start to get the early adopters and then the late majority, et cetera, and then you get to that final point. We're not at that final point. So if you think about it from an ETF standpoint, I think we've seen a lot of investment in this space. You know, from an ETF standpoint in Australia, we've had about 300 million net flows into this fund year to date. And that's really positive. It's strong, but it's not anywhere near what you may have, say, for a broad market, S&P 500 or the broader market, larger ETFs. So you still have a lot more growth from an investment standpoint. But if I take a step back and go, well, on that S curve in terms of adoption as a technology or as a mega trend, if you think about the fact that electric vehicles, I think the electric vehicle sale only make up about 3% of total sales. I think it was in 2020 or 2019. So we're very much at that early stage. You're going to see much greater use of the underlying companies, technology, products, and services within this thematic in the next 5, 10, 20 years. So there's much more growth to be had from a company perspective or from a thematic perspective. So a lot of investors are now, I think, focusing a bit more on this theme, but I think, to be honest, investors are probably focusing a lot more on thematics generally. You know, they're looking at, I don't need to be wedded just to the broad market. I don't need to be wedded just to a sector or a country. I can look at a thematic. I now have that available to me, so I can potentially use it within my portfolio.
So obviously, gaining exposure to a new sector like lithium provides a layer of diversification. How deep is that diversification? Is the lithium sector correlated to any other parts of the market, or does it purely do its own thing?
I think it's obviously going to have some influences, you know, on from a geopolitical perspective. You're going to have influences there. You know, just COVID alone. Let's take that example. We saw that probably COVID really hurt South America in terms of, and that hurt mining supply in South America, for example, any instability that you have from a political standpoint. In terms of demand, though, I think that's the other, that's probably the part that differs, is demand on lithium is going to be quite broad from a country perspective. You're going to have not that same correlation that we have, for example, with iron ore in China. you know, there is that strong link between iron ore prices and what China does at the moment anyway, from an Australian perspective. With lithium, that's not necessarily going to be the case, I feel. I personally believe that, you know, it's going to have much wider diverse customers from a country basis and from an industrial basis as well.
Do trade tensions, especially vis-a-vis China, pose a danger?
Potentially, they can. They can. I think they can pose a threat generally. I think because when you consider the fact that China is trying to be a leader in that electric vehicle space, but I think they were a front runner in terms of going green, because you know there's this big magnifying glass on China and you know its pollution levels generally, and so they're trying to do as much as they can, and they've been from that standpoint, I think they've done well. You know, there's support in that industry within China itself, but with other developed nations coming further along, Australia's probably moving a little bit slower than, say, European nations in the developed world, or the US is really picking up, because if the rest of the world is still going ahead and going strong and needing to adopt electric vehicles, you've got the big corporates also supporting. I think what you find with a megatrend is, and a megatrend like this, is you need government support first and foremost. You now have that government support pretty much mainstream across the world. Developed markets, yes. And now in emerging markets, India is coming out. So India is actually letting Tesla enter the market. That in itself is a big play.
And just finally, Kanish, give us a bit of a plug. How's the ACDC product performed? What's in it? And how can investors go about getting some exposure to it?
Sure. So this particular ETF, it's the ETF Securities Battery Tech and Lithium ETF. It's a bit of a mouthful in terms of its name, but the code is quite simple to remember. It's ACDC. It's performed very well. So it was the best performing ETF for 2020. So in 2020, the ETF returned 62.2%. That's net of fees. Year to date, as it stands right now, it's returned 22.2%. That's to the end of August. So for 2021 to the end of August, it's returned 22.2%. So still very strong returns in a market that we've seen a bit of volatility in. And that was interesting, actually, when we saw a lot of the tech names, a lot of the growth names early on this year in 2021 underperform. And there was that sort of discussion, are we having this rotation to value? ACDC continued to perform well because the underlying thematic is driving that performance. So you may find with thematic investments, they're uncorrelated to broad markets because they're operating on a different sort of scope, investment scope. The ETF itself, it has, up to 30 names and it can have more. It has 32 names, apologies, as at the end of August within the portfolio as it stands. And the other thing it's important to understand from a country and a sector allocation, it is quite diverse. So again, with a thematic, it's not focused on one particular country, you know, and I'm going to give you an example there. Japan has a 21.7% exposure as at the end of August. The US is 22.4%. So it's diverse in its country exposure. And there is some Australian names in there as well. So with the sector allocation of ACDC, it is quite diverse. So again, it's agnostic to sectors. You know, its heaviest weighting from a sector basis is industrials, and that's sitting at just under 36%, and then consumer discretionary at 28.8%. Again, a lot of that consumer discretionary may be also the car manufacturers as well. And I get the last point, we talked about the value chain of battery technology. So you're going from the raw mining, the minerals, so that's the lithium players. You're talking about the manufacturing of the battery technology itself. So companies like Samsung SDI, LG Chem. You're talking about the applications companies, so companies like the car manufacturers, but it's not just Tesla. So BMW, Renault, for example, feature in this portfolio. And then the enablers. So from an enabler perspective, companies like SolarEdge. So they're the sort of the supporting the afterlife, from the perspective of, you know, that grid storage, the recharging infrastructure, the recycling potentially. And then the last part is that emerging technology. So it's not just focusing on lithium. It is a large part of the industry. It's a large part of the ETF, but it goes beyond that as well.
Kanish, this has been great. Thank you so much for getting us up to speed.
No worries. Cheers. Thanks for having me, David.
That was Kanish Chugh from ETF Securities. Make sure to subscribe to Friends with Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au.